Blog Talk Radio. Welcome to Optimize My Life, the ultimate radio show where we unlock the secrets to living our best lives. Now, before we dive into this exciting journey of self-improvement and empowerment, I want to take a moment to thank our incredible sponsor, The Hope Collection, for making this show possible. Their unwavering commitment to spreading hope and positivity in our lives is truly remarkable. We believe in the power of interaction, so we want you to be a part of this incredible journey. Call in, write to us, or connect on social media. We'd love to hear your questions, experiences, and challenges. Together, we'll create a thriving community of like-minded individuals, supporting each other to thrive and shine.
Happy New Day, Jugs. Happy New Day, everyone, wherever you are in this beautiful world. It is Thursday. Welcome, welcome, welcome. I am your host, Georgette. I'm also your neighborhood juice dealer and dope healer. And we are in full swing of April. April showers are definitely happening outside, so shower blessings are on the way. And today, I wanted to still keep it going from last Thursday as we were talking about neurodivergency and traveling, but I want to get more into parenting this morning. A part of parenting that people don't talk about that's not politically correct, and that is, spanking, verbal cues, and things you do to discipline your children.
Reinforcement.
I do. Yeah, reinforcement. Yeah. So if you're an old school parent like I am, or if you're old school in your parenting, it's because you probably got your ass whooped a number of times. Times have definitely changed, and what I feel is that during old times, before when we were children and when our parents were children, there was this saying children need to be seen and not heard, because this was a sign of disrespect or challenging authority, and it was just frowned upon, especially in Black and brown communities. A Black mama is known to whoop ass, okay? I think it's a sport out there somewhere. Whoop-ass 3000s or whatever that looks like. But and then you have other people who give spankings and, different punishments. But over time and over laws time, it's against the law to punish your children, so to speak, or spank them or beat them. Now, when I say beat, I just mean like a real stern whipping, spanking, those are the words. I do not mean beat your children. There are some people out here in this world who do not need children because they beat them. This is a small percent, but yet it's still a large enough percent that something needs to be done about it, and people got to seek counsel. So this is not to point the blame on anyone or to say anything, but if you are a parent who spanks or beats their child often, then I encourage you both to get into some type of programming to help you understand why you're doing the things you're doing, and to help you understand why your child is doing the things you're doing. So y'all can come on a different understand it. Now, y'all know I love a good story time, so story time. The year is 2020, okay? Full-out pandemic, a.k.a. the pandemic. And Gage is simply being a child, playing a little bit of mischief, nothing too serious. And Mom is frustrated. Mom has an attitude. Mom has... is overworked, stressed, and instead of me saying those things or crying about those things or figuring out the things, Mommy acts in a manner where she yells and screams, be quiet, you know, sit down. I never say shut up. I always say be quiet, and I always say shut your mouth. But I never say just shut up. I don't say. But anywho, Gage, he was doing something in the kitchen, and he broke some glass. And when he broke the glass, a shard of it flipped up, and it cut his leg really bad. I was so mad because I was like, you knew better than to come in here messing with this stuff. So my first initial thing was yelling at a child who just got cut, who is seeing blood and is panicking, and Mommy's yelling. Could have handled that better. And then I let him know that because what he has done, he's going to get a spanking because I told you not to do it. So now I have to spank you. But not only are you hurt and you're injured, I'm about to spank you, too, because you didn't listen, and as a result of you not listening, you got hurt. Now, let's dissect what just happened there. As a parent and a caregiver, I cared a lot about my child and his well-being. To put out warnings and say, hey, you might want to think about doing these things, you shouldn't do these things, da da da. But guess what he goes and do? The things. One will say, well, you know, he's autistic, so he don't understand. Not true. When it comes to children with differences and deficiencies, how you react is how they will react. So what you got to understand and learn in this moment is that they're learning, just like you learning. There's no one yelling at you while you're learning. And even when you mess up out here, there's still no one to come and yell at you. Well, not a majority of us. No one to yell at you or correct you. And so in this moment, I realized, like, you know, he probably doesn't want to be spanked during this time, T. But I'm yelling at him because I told you, and you know better. Am I wrong or right if I whoop the child? Two-way street. One, you're spanking the child to reiterate what I've already told you, even though you just got hurt from saying do something I told you not to do. If I don't spank you, do you learn your lesson? Now let's go back to the old times. Our parents used to say things like, I whoop you because I love you. What? Crazy lady. If you love me, why would you hit me? Why would you put me in this? Why? Why would we be here? And then it came to me is that parents do to their children what was done to them, and it becomes a cycle. And at some point, we got to break the cycle because that's how you break generational curses. Because that's how you create a more level-headed human while we're out here rearing these children. So my mom whooped me about every little thing, y'all. Everything. If I was disrespectful, spanking. If I didn't clean up, spanking. If I got bad grades, I got a beating. because education was important to her. One, because I think their growing up was more difficult to get an education, pursue it money-wise wasn't feasible. So education was important. Education was also something that if you achieve it, you achieve success in this world. So you have to get your education. You have to get your education. So as I got older, I would always say, I am not going to spank my kids. I don't care how mad they make me. I know I don't like the feeling. I'm not going to spank my kids. I'm just not. And then you have one, and they're so precious, and they're so loving, and they're kind, and they're little babies, and they can't do for themselves, so you do everything. But then they grow up, and then they get their voices, they get their language. We realize they have their own mindset. They have their own way of thinking. They have their own checks and balances of things. And as a parent, we have to learn to allow our children to be themselves. We have to learn to allow our children to make their own mistakes. And when they do make mistakes, instead of being there to scold them, being there to love on them, to nurture them, to explain to them. Gage is very open-minded with a lot of things, except his food. We're working on his food. And I remember one time, now Gage has probably gotten about 5 spankings his whole life. And I remember, and I'm just having flashbacks, but going back to popping him as I was training him to use the restroom, potty training. And I popped him because he peed in his clothes. And I was like, why are you popping him? Like, you know, my dad, shout out to my daddy. I've never gotten a whooping, ever, never. Because he always said, I had to realize you was a person too. You had feelings. You had things going on that you couldn't express. You have a mind. You have your own way, your own agenda. So I used to listen to my father say those things. And I realized that, yeah, he's right. So I remember popping Gage, and he just kind of looked at me like, girl, why are you popping me? You know, he didn't really have language, but he was just looking like so confused. And he never cried, y'all. He never cried on spankings or anything. He's never cried. I later on found out that I'm grateful that I did not whoop him because, you know, parents want to see reactions and cries. And I wouldn't get that from him. I later on found out that his pain receptors are, he has a high tolerance for pain, or pain doesn't register in him. Now he sees blood, all hell's about to break loose. But he doesn't feel pain. So the spankings and the whoopings and the poppings were pointless. Now once you identify that spankings and whoopings aren't working, most parents just get harder things to whoop the child with, or throw things, or, you know, now it's physical and you're punching your kids and things. I've heard some horror stories. And for the mommies with the babies with the superpowers, you probably have two experiences that your child doesn't have pain receptors or doesn't register pain, or it just is not fazed by it. Also, your children may experience lack of emotion or empathy. And these are all characteristics of neurodivergency and how the brain operates and how we receive and give information. also with that, it comes a point in time that you have to learn that you're not your child and you're not your mother or your father. You do not have to do your children how you were done, especially learning the emotional intelligence of children and how they convey more sympathy and empathy than any other age group on the planet. They're open, they're honest, they are ready to literally take on a task of changing the world and just being greater. But now we've come to a point where some parents get so frustrated at their children and at their situation that they hit them or they beat them or they mistreat them. And then that's where, you know, problem lies. Now moving back forward to like times that I can remember like engaged. I remember one time, and when I say one time, I mean one time. Gagey had put his hands on a little girl. And I was going to whoop him about it because you can't put your hand, you can't push little girls, you can't hit little girls. First and foremost, you can't hit and push anybody unless they're in your bubble. We had to have the bubble talk. This is your bubble. This is your safe zone. And I had to explain to him that, you know, don't allow people in this space if you don't want them to be in this space. And also, don't allow people to just treat you any kind of way. Because mommy doesn't treat you any kind of way. So why on earth would you let people treat you any kind of way? He crashed the situation. But I could have easily spanked him at this time. I don't think he would have learned. And when I thought about mentally, how can I drill this in his brain that this is not okay to put your hands on people unless you feel attacked or anything, and I made him run up and down my driveway. And I think he completed like 19 or 20 times. And every time he got to the top of the hill, he said, I keep my hands to myself and I do not hit girls. When he came back down, he came back up. He was like, it is not nice to hit people unless they're not being nice to you. You go down and come back up. And he had more things that I was having him say. And so that became, you know, that was really, really, really a good time in both of our lives because I was able to explain things and teach him something and he learned that, you know, this behavior is not okay. And like I said, I'm not a perfect parent. I have had a moment where Gage had broken something and tore up something in the house, and I got so mad that I grabbed him and spanked him. And, you know, at this particular time, he cried, but he didn't cry because I hit him. He cried because I was mad at him. He doesn't like the fact that mommy's mad at him. That hurts his feelings more than any whooping I could ever administer to his backside. He even jokes now, like, Gage, you know you're going to get a whooping for that. All right, go get the belt. What you get the belt for? You know she ain't going to whoop you. And he'll say things like that, and I'll just be like, what? You are a silly sir. But that's another thing. He helped me with my parenting because one thing about a child on the spectrum, they'll tell you exactly what they want. And if they're not telling you, they're showing you. So it is important to have visuals in the house so that they can see different things and be able to better communicate. So now I have to keep up with the time. If Gage does something that I feel is unorthodox to the plan, I simply ask him, are we acting, you know, like in our higher self? And he'll acknowledge it. No, I'm just being silly. No, I'm just playing. No, you know, he'll say the thing. And I think that's awesome because he's able to identify. But he'll also say things like, well, I'm not going to do it because you didn't take me on a trip. So he'll use reverse psychology with me. I didn't take him on the trip. Or I didn't do this for him, so he's not going to behave himself. Woo! Cunning little joker he is. With teeth, okay? But I've also learned, hey, Mom, hey, Dad, take away those electronics. Take away that TV, iPad, iPhone, tablet, handheld game system. Take it all away. Take it all away and watch your children go through withdrawal, go through meltdown, go through tantrum, go through disrespectfully talking, and the list goes on and on. Watch them. And when they show you exactly who they are in that moment, be sure to say, oh, son, wow, thank you for showing me this side of you. Wow, I see that this isn't a side of you I want to see. This is a side of you that I'm disappointed in because you showed this side. This is a part of the thing that I'm like, oh, now we're communicating effectively. Now your children are learning a give and take role. Now your children are learning that Mom and Dad means business. They're standing on their business. If I expect to get the same treatment and lifestyle, then I must change my behavior. So Gage has this thing where if I correct a Gage, now you know better than that, or Gage. I can't believe. Oh, sorry. I'm so sorry I did that, or... Yeah, sorry. And I tell him, now, I don't want your cards because they don't mean anything. I can't cash your cards in. What does Mommy want? Wants me to change my behavior. Ding, 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 ding. If you change your behavior, I know you grasp the concept. If you change your behavior, I know that you understand. If you change that part, I'll know that you're really focusing on what's important and most of what you're here to learn. That's how to love and be loved. Oftentimes we say like our kids are bad or they're mischievous or whatever. No, they're not. They just need to be loved differently. They need to honor their truth. And then honor Mommy and Daddy's truth. Because just as you came to the world with your own agenda and your own way, They did. There also comes a point in time where no matter how bad it is or how rough it is, you still have to show up. You have to show up for yourself and be a parent. You got to show up for yourself and do the things that you don't want to do, but you do them because you know it's imperative to do. You know this. You know that if you don't do it, your kid may really turn out another way. But if you stay the course and teach them, good stuff you can teach your kids. And you know what? I think they have different things. They come to the earth with different downloads and things. These kids is advanced. I don't care what nobody says. These kids are advanced. And they have the palm of the world right, the whole world in the palm of their hands. Through these cell phones and these devices. So definitely be mindful when you're practicing. I know some parents be like, gentle parenting. I'm not a gentle parent.
Sorry.
No, keep going, Mary, so they can hear gentle parenting. It was right on time. It was right on time. See how gentle parenting works. Our children, you know, they don't have anything to say to us or do with us until we get on the phone.
It's upstairs on the bus.
Mary could have muted the phone and yelled at her kids for coming downstairs because you know mommy's on the radio. What do you do?
Well, she's got her class at 9:30 and 10:30 Eastern time. And she couldn't find her computer because she didn't. So, of course, she got to bug mom.
Yeah. But you see how you were just so gentle with her and say, hey, mommy's on the radio. I can't help you at this moment, or I can help you. I can give you this at this moment. And it doesn't take some moms to yell, you see I'm on the phone? You know what time it is. And you know, guess what? They can forget. They human. They can forget. They can definitely forget. They can definitely make mistakes, because I know you made some. I did. I damn sure have made some. But just like that, having a moment to just say, okay, sweetheart, I hear you. I'm listening. I have this going on right now. Can you give me just a little bit of patience? Give me a little bit of time and watch how it all work out. I'm here for gentle parenting. When Gage should yell at me, you know you're not supposed to be doing that. You know. Hey, you okay? You're talking to me I was a little bit stern. And no, he don't need to be stern with his mama, but he's saying, I was a little bit stern. Okay, I get that. You can be a little bit stern, but you be a little bit of getting your life together. And I'll tell him, well, if you're a little bit stern, then I can't take you on a little bit of vacation anymore because you want to be a little bit stern. I can't take you on outings because you're being stern because you don't want to listen. Those things play, they come into play and they help me the most when it comes to Gage.
Like I said, gentle parenting is different. It looks different on many different ways. It can
it can look like, you know, all is well in this world, and then it can look like I'm at wit's end and I don't have enough strength or power to move on. So I can't do this today. I won't do this today. And I'll figure out another way and another time.
You know, one of the biggest misconceptions, I'm going to interrupt you for one quick second, is that gentle parenting means letting them get away with doing stuff. It's punishing them based on their emotional and mental level and focusing more on the positives than the negatives, but at the same time letting them spread but still when they do something wrong correcting them. It's just a different way of doing it.
For sure. I wholeheartedly agree.
But a lot of people, when they hear the word gentle parenting, they automatically assume and think, oh, well, that just means that, you know, they're going to get away with it. You're not going to punish them. And we do have kids that don't get punished and just live in their own little world. But it's more about talking to them and explaining what they did wrong as opposed to disciplining. It's correcting that behavior on a different level.
Sir? Yes, sir. Happy New Day. I don't think that it's letting people get away. They're not getting away with anything. It's just literally you taking the time to assess what they have done and correcting them. Happy New Day. So I feel that when we gentle parents, we're understanding the emotional intelligence of a child. And they're understanding the emotional intelligence of adults. If we really get to the root of why we kind of spank our kids from time to time, because we're mad and we're frustrated. If you take the anger out of it, where does that lead you?
And 8 out of 10 times, you're not even frustrated about what they did. It's something completely different. It's just that they pissed you off at the wrong time.
That is the ultimate truth.
They pissed us off. We mad about X, Y, and Z.
And, you know, as adults, we tend to forget about all the dumb shit we did as kids. You know, we all screwed up. We all did, you know, weren't perfect.
For sure. We've done a number of things.
Again, we've done things that we need whipping for today, right now.
And that's the one double-edged sword when it comes to these kind of children, these gifted kids, is unlike regular kids, these kids will call you out on it. And it's a fine line, you know, I walk this fine line in my house, too, is, you know, how far do we let them tell us where we screwed up as opposed to, you know, that parent relationship where you are in charge so they don't forget that you're the one that's the parent, you're the one in charge, not the little smarty pants. And I say that in a sense because they are very smart. Oh, if there's a loophole in the system, they will figure it out.
For sure. Gage is the mastermind of loopholes. And it's not even that they're just clever. They're naturally clever. So as a mommy or daddy who has one of these exceptional children, you should be proud that your child really thinks outside the box. You should be excited that they find different ways to communicate and different ways to maneuver around. That's what you want in life, is it not?
I agree 100%. You know, I always talk about my kid's going to be the one that sits there and tells all the dumb kids to do something stupid. He's the smart one not to do it himself and con other people into it. You know, they always figure out the other way. They figure out, you know, this. It may take them a little bit longer to figure out the another way of doing it because they get so fixated on, you know, I'm the right person, I'm right, this is what I think. But they have this gift to be able to figure things out at a different level. They're 4 or 5 steps ahead of most people. Which brings me to an interesting statistic. And it's not a well-known statistic. 3% of our military are neurodivergent.
Yeah, when it comes to that part, they definitely make a difference.
A lot of our men and women that are doing the logistics, the computers, the stuff like that, they all have some sort of super gift. They're not widely advertised because of the stigma associated with it.
Yeah. Also, I want to get into, like, from the mental standpoint, Mary, because you are a psychoanalyst therapist. Mentally, what do you feel that there's the disconnect with parents from their parents and the parent to the children, their children now, like from grandparents to parents? Because once grandchildren come, grandparents have a whole different perspective. They're not the same parents. What is the mental break or the mental?
You know, grandparents, you know, you always hear the comment, well, we get to spoil them and send them home. You know, they're not stuck with all the repercussions of their actions. But a lot of times, too, a lot of these, you know, parents grew up in a very strict environment. And so they try to do the opposite, to give their kids that life they didn't have. Problem
know,
is they don't walk that line.
They don't do the kids. They do the grandkids like that.
Mm-hmm. Well, some of the parents do the same thing. We're having a lot of, but then we also are living in this world of disconnect with the parents where, you know, we're becoming less and less involved as a family unit when it comes to the older generations.
For sure.
And so these kids are not learning their heritage and where they came from and learning the old stories like we all did. We're becoming so opinionated in the sense that we're losing that level of respect when it comes to teaching our kids how to talk to somebody else. You know, I'm a big fan of Tyler Perry. I'm a big fan of the, what's the show called? Meet the Pains. And they brought up a really good point with these younger generations. They have, when they talk with their viewpoint, they're not listening to the viewpoints around them. And instead of shutting up for a second and listening to what they're saying and adjusting what you're saying to meet them so someone else understands it, you talk louder, more direct, and ruder. You know, when we were kids, we would never have thought of saying something like that to an adult.
Yeah, for sure. But what we're learning now is new age parents, our children do have minds and they do have valid points. That's why when Gage challenges me and questions, I never get upset because he's merely here to teach me. He's my best teacher.
Correct. There's nothing wrong with the viewpoint. There's nothing wrong with the thought process. It's the delivery. And that's where we need to start teaching our kids indoor voices, teaching how to adjust the delivery of their message. How to be more polite as we talk about it and less in your face about it. Now, this is all part of cancer culture that we're being programmed into believing is that, you know, we don't agree with something they say or they don't agree with us. We bully them and we get rid of it. No, there's only one right side. And we're forgetting to teach them that they have a viewpoint. Their viewpoint matters. It's how you use and speak your viewpoint.
And definitely, like you said, delivery is a big thing, but also allowing them space to express themselves. Because if you shut the kid down at home, they're not able to process when they go to school. So when things bother them at school, now they're not able. I know, just breathe. Now they're not able to really convey their message. So if they're getting bullied or getting pressured at school, they're not going to be more inclined to tell you because you've already told them, shut up, stay in a child's place. Be quiet. You can't talk to me like that.
I completely agree.
Yeah, for sure.
And this is where you let them express what they're feeling, what they're thinking, what they're saying. Let them get it out first. And then after it's out and the situation calms down, then you explain how they can do it differently. And explain why the delivery needed to be adjusted a little bit. You know, we use the term in our house, you know, adjust your outdoor voice to your indoor voice. And they understand it is to adjust their delivery. It's becoming a little disrespectful.
For sure. And also tone. Tone plays a big part in this too. Use the high tones and low tones. I learned that from learning Japanese. Their parents may not curse or things like that, but they'll use a high and the low tone for them to indicate that this is serious or this is playful.
Mhm. And with special kids, they tend to feed off tones more. They read into the tones, and that's, as a parent, we need to understand that. You know, our tone of voice and how we say, it's not what we say, but how we say it is so crucial to getting them to understand it. You know, you use a harsher tone, a deeper tone, they look at it as frustration and anger as opposed to a higher tone. And I'm not sexist when I say this, but men, you have a hell of a lot more problems than we do because your tone is naturally deeper. And a lot of men have a naturally harsher tone. It's just the way God made you. You got to learn to adjust it a little bit more than we do. It was one of the biggest arguments me and my husband would get into when we first started learning all this stuff and understanding this was the tone of voice. And he'd get frustrated because he had to learn how to adjust that. He's still learning. He forgets because guys tend to have a harsher, raspier, deeper voice.
For sure.
But our school systems don't help anything at all either. Because kids are always corrected. We are into this mindset that your child has to speak a certain way, has to do a certain thing, say a certain thing. and say it a certain way. And if you don't, they get corrected the minute they open their mouth. And when you start correcting them from the minute they start speaking, they stop talking because what's the point of saying something when you won't even let me say it?
And that was one thing. He used to say, "Mommy, you're not letting me talk." "Mommy, you're not letting me talk. How can I say what I want to say?" And so I had to start saying, "Dang, okay, you got to let Gagey talk. You got to let him get his talk." So I let him say whatever it is he wants to say. "Mommy, I don't like it when you yell. Mommy, I don't like it when you fuss. Mommy, I don't like it when you don't let me do the things."
"You keep worrying about the stuff that you do do right."
So what's your comment back to him when he says that?
"Oh, no, no, no. I let him talk, and I tell him, well, I break it down. Well, Gage, if Mommy has to keep yelling about the same thing, you're not listening. You didn't get it." And he was like, "I did get it. I heard you. Mommy, I heard you. I'm listening. I just did it because that's what I felt like doing." So he feels his feelings. Even when he wants to cry,
so,
and he doesn't, I tell him, "You got to cry." He's like,
"So now you
got to
readjust your messaging,"
mm-hmm.
"because he hears you. He knows he's not supposed to do it, and he does it because he feels like it." So instead of saying, "You didn't hear me," now we go to the next level of explaining the respect part of, well, I tell you not to do something because of whatever reason it is. And
yeah, I tell them,
that
hey,
is the
reason
hardest
my mom
part
used to...
with these kids is you need a valid reason.
Breathe. Oh, yeah, I got to have a reason.
In this day and age, I said so doesn't work anymore.
Oh, yeah, and that's what he said. That doesn't make sense, Mom, just because you said so, it didn't make sense.
That is the curse of having free-thinking children. It's that double-edged sword.
I don't know. I haven't thought that far yet.
So what I've done is he asked me, if he said he doesn't understand, I will explain. And when I explain it, I say, well, Gage, you know, Mom is older, and so I have more experience. When I tell you not to do some things, it's because I want what's best for you, and I want you to be safe at all times. So if I'm asking you to do something or telling you not to do something, it's because I don't want you to face the danger. Oh, it's dangerous. Yeah, don't touch the stove because it's hot. Not go to the stove and touch it because you don't believe Mommy said it's hot. Oh. You're giving me examples. What he said.
I don't know.
You know, the thing is, sometimes it's so hard not to laugh or smile with some of the comments that come out of their mouths. Honestly, I have a hard time with that.
Oh, man, especially when my brother's around because he always dang laughs. He laughs at everything.
And it's hard to tell sometimes because these kids are so smart and so quick-witted if they're being serious or sarcastic. Maybe it's harder in my house because I'm a very sarcastic person because my kids do things to piss me off on purpose.
Over and over again, and you continue to do it, and I keep getting mad. You don't think that makes me feel the type of way?
Yeah, for sure. When it comes to the sarcasticness, Gage is sarcastic. Oh, no, Gage, here she comes. You're going to get in trouble. Or if I say, Gage, I don't want to hear it right now, he goes, go sit down right now. We're done. Like, he disciplines himself. That's another thing. If anybody got a kid like my kid, He definitely disciplines himself.
Sometimes their punishments are worse than what you would have given them.
I know, in Ariana's case, yes.
When you speak of it, I don't nitpick it every time something doesn't go my way. It's a bunch of stuff built up, and then one time, which can be the simplest time, is the time that I should be the most considerate, and that time is just the time that pushes me over the edge.
So I've learned to let him express the way he feels, let him express how he is receiving me right in this moment. And it always comes to, it ends with a mom. Thank you for explaining to me. I understand. I understand that you love me very much and you want what's best for me. That's how we end those most conversations in.
All right. I mean, there's no other way to end it.
No other way to end it. We end with smiles and giggles. Most best advice I can give to parents, and this is something I had to take, put down the belt, pick up a pencil and paper, write out some things that you want from your children. Allow your children to write out some things they want from you. Create a contract. Sign it. Post it somewhere up in the house where you can always go back to it. You know who taught me that, Mary? You. Creating that space that we are both in this together. Neither one of us is higher than the other. And together we can be better. We are a team.
Another thing is just walking. Pick your battles. You know, tell them to, you know, you tell them to do something. Tell them to clean their room. Pick up their clothes. They may get them next to the laundry basket, not in the laundry basket. You know, praise them for getting it to the area and then work on getting it into the laundry basket. You know, letting them know first what they did right, then correct what they're doing wrong.
Yeah, I like that too. I always lead positive. I always see that their best self is being placed forward and they're trying the best that they have with the resources that they got. Be a better resource for your children. Honor their feelings. They're little people, but they have big feelings.
Yeah. And they have the big feelings that they don't always understand.
Yeah, that's it. Learning the big feelings that they don't understand.
You know, when these kids play, listening to them through their play helps understand where they're at and what they're doing.
Yep.
it's one way they work out what they're going through.
When you say it's one way, oh, through their actions, they're playing out what they're going through. Got it. Okay. I needed to say it again.
And like, you know, like when we played school, we played house. You know, if we would reenact things. These kids play at a different level, where if you look at how they, you know, take their animals and talk to their stuffed animals, or when they're talking to something, they talk a lot in third person. The main reason is they get talked to a lot in third person. And so they will explain things like, Teddy needs this and Teddy wants that. Or Teddy got in trouble because Teddy did this. A lot of times that's what they're going through, and they're using that to understand it. It's kind of like being their own therapist. And it's because we, therapies and all the things that these kids go through, they're talked to that way all the time. And so they learn to figure out their issues by reenacting them out. It's called play therapy. They just figured it out for themselves. You know, they saved you thousands of dollars in therapy bills because they've figured out how to deal with some of their issues.
A conversation a month ago doesn't mean that I went MIA before it came back. What did you say?
For sure.
So we are almost out of time for today.
Man, I just want to say thank you for having this open conversation with you, because you definitely need a tribe when you're raising children, rearing children. And you definitely need to know that there's nobody around to whoop your ass when you make mistakes. So don't be so quick to whoop your kids' ass because they made a mistake. You are their guide. And you are their person who gets them to the next level. That is some great responsibility. So use your power wisely. Let's break generational curses and rear these children in love and light to go out and be love and light. But yeah, that's my time for the day. Jugs, I love y'all. There's nothing you can do about it. Forgive my client for being so loud. Mary, I will see you on the other side. Join Mary at noon. Thank you, Bob. The whole Hope Collection. Optimize my life. You're still a dope killer. I'm out. We'll see you next Thursday. Peace, love, and juice.